In our second quarter hour today, we're visiting with the Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, Trish Gilbert. Trish, welcome back to Squawk 1200.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Beautiful day.
So you cannot swing a dead cat in Oshkosh without hitting a sign that says modernize, not privatize. It's all about the so-called ATC privatization effort. And because NATCA has taken a public position on that, we want to start our conversation about that.
When I look at, as Mike said, when I look at the various publications from different societies, all of the alphabet people who are here and in the press, I get the feeling that the story about privatization is maybe not well understood. Can you set us straight?
Thank you for that. I will say that I think every entity, all the alphabet groups you're talking about, I think we all want the same thing. We want a safe system. We want access for all users in our system. Rural America, general aviation, where our air traffic controllers learn in those small communities as well. So the dialogue, I think, starts to get a little contentious as some scary things are discussed on what that reform might look like. The air traffic controllers, we are concerned with some of the problems with status quo, some of the unreliability in funding, because we are funded through the appropriations process, which is an annual process, which has not happened annually even for the last decade. So there's concerns there with the stop and go funding, the sequester that is still the law of the land, and you guys went through some of that with us when we had the issues in 2013, looking at closing our low activity towers, looking at not coming to send our air traffic controllers to EAA, provide that great service that they do.
Talk about scary. That was scary.
Yeah, and that's still in the law. And if the House and the Senate and the administration do not come to a budget agreement soon, the sequester caps will then go back into place. So we certainly are looking very closely at that. But back to the question and the signage we're seeing all over the place. We agree modernization is an important piece, and we are not supportive of a private for-profit model. We are in the room to be experts in aviation and air traffic control, and we support a dialogue around ATC reform that is appropriate for funding.
But practically, how do you keep that from happening when the board is populated by organizations that are all for-profit?
Well, the entity proposed in the House bill is a not-for-profit model with oversight from the government. The FAA would still remain the regulator. The board is a diverse 13-person board. There's an air cargo seat. There's a regional carrier seat, an airline appointed seat. There's labor, pilots, general aviation, business aviation, two government seats, an airport seat, and I might have left one off if I didn't get to 13. So it is a very diverse board, more diverse than it was in the proposed bill that was introduced in the House last Congress.
Trish, when you talk about reauthorization and the funding that would naturally come out of that, are we looking for funding for staff or technology as well?
It would be all of that. It's not just to hire and train and staff the professionals that would provide the service, same ones that provide the service today, but the infrastructure. We have an aging infrastructure. We have our 20 en route centers that are about 53 years old or older, many towers over 60 years old. And then we also have the technology that we need to keep up. Innovation is as you all know, with the way we see the changes in our electronic devices that we all carry, all kinds of equipment and technology are changing very, very rapidly. So we need to be able to keep up with that and deploy, test and deploy and implement that on a better basis than we do inside the government. Not saying that we absolutely, the answer is to come out of the government. There could be some options that leave us in there as long as the stop and go funding was addressed. So we're open for that dialogue to address the funding.
Yeah, just to follow up. So is some of this technology, perhaps the data link between air traffic control and the aircraft in the skies, is this an example of what we're looking for?
So DataCom is something that we're working very closely with the FAA on. We did deploy it in over 50 towers last year. Of course, we have in the FAA more than 300, so we still have some work to do there. The second phase of that is deployment into our en route facilities, which is a 20 County I talked about, those are our bigger facilities that cover the rest of the United States and very high into the sky. There's already been some discussions about not being able to deploy the second phase of that DataCom system because of funding. So we're concerned with where the cuts are going to occur as we deal with all the fiscal issues in the government and inside the FAA.
So you mentioned before we went on the air that the number of controllers is still under what it ought to be given workload. Is it your expectation that the ATC reform in the House bill would result in an increase in the number of controllers to help close that gap? Is that an expectation or a hope?
It's neither. Right now, our staffing is such a significant concern to us, you can't wait for reform to fix it. We all need to be focusing on it today. And both the House and the Senate have been very supportive on pushing the FAA to meet their hiring goals. They didn't meet them for the last 7 years. They have met them this year. And they look like they're on track to meet them next year with regard to the hiring bid that we just put out. So the focus is there right now and cannot wait for reform to be fixed.
We're talking with Trish Gilbert, who is the Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association.
So, Trish, can you put some numbers to this? When you said that your staffing is at an all-time low, what does that mean in real numbers for you, and what's the challenge?
So the real numbers are we have just at 10,500 fully certified controllers in the system. That's 1,000 less controllers than we had when we saw the furloughs in 2013. And when we were furloughed that week before the administrator moved money because Congress passed a law that allowed him to do it from airports into the budget, into the operations budget to stop the furloughs. So 1,000 controllers less than we had in 2013. That has equated to our inability to open all the sectors that we need to open, all be in the towers, full operating hours, reduced tower hours of operation. And more concerning of that 10,500 certified controllers is we have 3,000 of them that are eligible to retire. So a separate piece of legislation that we have our eye on, which hasn't really been drafted yet, but it did pass the Budget House Committee, which is changing the federal retirement for federal employees. And if that were to occur and actually get through the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, those 3,000 air traffic controllers likely would retire. And then we would really have a significant issue. Again, to keep the system safe, you just put less airplanes in the sky, less controllers to separate them, so you start to see capacity issues.
So it almost seems like a perfect storm is coming, or perhaps it's already here, because we're in a growth industry. The airlines are hiring more pilots, they're purchasing more airframes, they're trying to increase their own capacity, and that's working against your ability to support it.
Correct. And I met with our membership last night, and while this ATC reform is something we are really uber focused on, because anything can be harmful to the system and the workforce that safeguards it, so we want to be involved and make sure. But really, the sequester cuts, if there's not a budget agreement, and this bill that possibly could go through the government reform committees to change the retirement of the workforce that we depend on to keep the system at capacity and safe, those are our biggest two issues right now.
What's the age cap for a controller?
They are mandatory retired at age 56. So one of the proposals in some of the policy statements that have gone about is that we invest into our entire career into Social Security supplement offset, and because we go at age 56, we get a Social Security supplement until age 62. That is one of the proposals they're talking about wiping away. So, you know, it is not pennies to anybody, and certainly something we're very, very concerned about. It's a big deal for us.
And just in quick fashion, how long does it take to become a controller? I mean, if you hire them, then when can they become effective?
You know, and that is one of our biggest challenges, and so much concern for us to keep that pressure on the hiring pool is it does take a while. You can't just send somebody, hire them, and expect them to start separating airplanes the day after you hire them. Mm-hmm. It takes 2 to 3 years to become an air traffic controller, and not every individual that accepts the job and then gets employed by the FAA actually becomes an air traffic controller. It is still a lot of people. It's it. don't make it through the system, because it is a stressful job. It is very, it's not for everybody, and there are a lot of job jeopardy points to ensure that you can keep up with what you have agreed to do, which is very stressful separation of airplanes at some points. And you can see how busy they are here at EAA and how amazing the work they do is.
That's a phrase I might have to start using, job jeopardy points.
So here we are in July of 2017. Just a few weeks ago, there was a hiring window that opened and then within just a few days closed. We have just a few seconds left. Briefly, what happened during that period of time when applications for new controllers were being taken?
So there's no shortage of young professionals that would love to be air traffic controllers. So we did see great numbers apply, and we hope that the agency keeps the focus on getting their security clearances done, their entrance exams taken care of, and their medicals done, and get them academy dates so we can get them into the facilities and start training them. So again, great numbers, and we're really happy to see people interested in the job. It's a wonderful profession, and I would love to see all of these excited aviators try air traffic control too.
Well, you guys have a great and very positive presence at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, so thanks again for that. Talking with Trish Gilbert, the Executive Vice President of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association. You're listening to EAA Radio.